Invite you to turn your Bibles, Will, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll go review our theme verse for these messages and then go on to our subject this morning. Thankful to our Lord for the day and making it to where we could meet together. I know some are unable to be with us, and that's if you need to stay home because of whatever is going on, that's what you need to do. The Lord knows that's the way it is with the Lord. He knows when we're goofing off and when we really need to stay home. And so thankful that trust everyone is safe and thankful the way the Lord does take care of us. Here, Moses is out in the wilderness. He's tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 4, and the Lord saw that he turned aside to see this burning bush that was not consumed. Moses went to look at it and see what's going on there. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." In Exodus chapter 33, as Lord is dealing with the children of Israel here, Moses is interceded for them. And there's just kind of this time that the children of Israel waiting to see what God will do. Moses declares unto the Lord in Exodus 33, verse number 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." And he does reveal it will be the angel of the Lord. And I believe that's the pre-incarnation work of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight." We come to chapter 33, verse number 17, where the scripture says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken." Moses makes a plea with the Lord, don't send us forth if you don't go with us. And he said, "The Lord says, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name." I know thee by name. We've considered several characters, folks in the scriptures, Brother Lazarus and the call to life. We've seen Brother Zacchaeus and the call to abide in Christ. We've seen about the apostles and the call to be a witness of our Lord's resurrection as we are this day. Saul of Tarsus, Brother Paul, the apostle, the call to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, this morning, we want to take a look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, where our Lord is dealing here with the disciples, with the apostles, in this special time that he's having with them at this his observance of the Passover, the institution of the Lord's Supper there with his church. And he teaches them, even though he's heading to the cross the next morning, he teaches them. And we see here in John 14, this verse, verse number 9. Actually, let's read the passage and then we'll come back. In chapter 14 of John, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Our focus this morning is what we see in verse number 9 here. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, unto Philip, and Thomas is there, and maybe even others at hand. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I know thee by name. With Brother Philip and the others that are there, we want to see this morning the call to see Jesus for who he is. The call to see Jesus for who he is. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we thank you that you've brought us together. And we thank you for this time that you've given unto us. And we pray, Father, that you would help us with your good, rich word. Lord, we might hear you, believe you, and trust you in all that you say. And Lord, we might be built up in you, in your most holy faith, in you, Father, in the truth of your word and your power, Father. Help us as your children, that we might just be edified and built up in you. Father, for those that are here not saved, we pray you'd speak to their hearts as you did us. Lord, you call them by name. And Lord, you'd save and work in them as you only can. Lord, we entrust them unto you, and we pray that you'd work in their hearts and save. Help now with your word and bless us together. Thank you for the way you have already. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. Here, the Lord says, have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me? I've been here with you, Philip, for 3 years. And do you not know me? What's he say? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Seeing Jesus Christ for who he is. In this passage, we have much that the Lord tells us about himself and how we need to see him, how we need to understand what our Lord is unto us and his greatness and his majesty and power in that. Understand in this chapter 13, just before, our Lord Jesus has told about the disciples, about loving one another and about how he's going to be glorified and about his going on to do the things that he's been called to do. He tells there in verse number 36 unto Peter. It says there in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Because he's going to go to the cross. He's going to go to Calvary. He's going to go and fulfill those things. All those Old Testament passages that have been prophesied regarding him, he's going to go and do that by himself. Peter, you can't go. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. There'll be that you'll be able to follow me in afterwards, Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I'm willing to go. Lord, I'm willing to go with you. Jesus answers him, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. And so that's a very heavy thing. If you could imagine Peter being there and the disciples being there, those that heard that, our Lord declaring that unto Peter, it would be that would be a low time, wouldn't it? That would be a low ebb. Has there anything that Jesus has ever said would come to pass that didn't come to pass? The Lord declaring this unto Peter, he would understand that it's going to be. Peter has a zeal to go with the Lord, but the Lord says, no, you're not going to go with me. The sun's not going to rise until you've denied me three times. And so they're dealing with that. They have that, and they've had these things that the Lord has said unto them before. And our Lord says unto them, let not your heart be troubled. I tell you what, if we look at ourselves and what we are and our ability or really lack of ability, inability, we can become troubled very, very quickly, can't we? He says, let not your heart be troubled. And the Lord speaks to us about the very depth of our person and who we are. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. And then again, the disciples did believe in the Lord. He says, believe also in me. That faith that you have in God Almighty, you have that faith in me, fellas. You have that faith in me. And we see here about seeing Jesus Christ for who he really is. He's the one in whom we are to have faith. You believe in God? He says, believe also in me. Find it interesting that he would go on this track about the future. He would take this line of thought going to the end of the future. There's these things that are laid out before them, and they've got this that Jesus has told them and will tell them about what he's going to accomplish, what he's going to go do. He tells here in the scriptures in this time, this special time that he's with his disciples here in the upper room and then going from the upper room to Gethsemane and how he teaches them over in the coming chapters. He goes all the way to the end to give them a view about what lays ahead. Isn't that interesting? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. My Father's got a lot of places to live. Great and wonderful places. It's been a long time ago, and I didn't look it up in my notes, but we understand from the scriptures about the New Jerusalem. And I tell you what, it's a big place. 12 to 1500 miles cubed. I mean, that's 1200 miles that way and 1200 miles that way, 1500 miles that way, and 12 to 1500 miles straight up from the earth. It's a big place. And just in my curiosity and engineering background, I kind of took a look at that, and it occurred to me years ago, if we took that place and just looked at it as that cube, and I'm not saying that it is a cube, but that is the size of it as it's declared unto us. If we took such a place and divided it into levels to equal the surface area of the earth in that place, considering it as a building, do you realize that the floors in that place would be somewhere between, I'm thinking around 8 miles apart to in that building, if you will, that New Jerusalem, that city, the floors would be 8 miles apart. That's about the highest that commercial jet aircraft fly. To equal in those floors the surface area of the earth. Because see, there's no more sea on that earth. It's a big place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, fellas, there's places to live with my Father that lie ahead. I go to prepare a place for you. So there is going to be a place, and it's going to be prepared for his children. And he said, I want you to understand about the extent of the end of all this. We see in this that our Lord is our preparer. He's preparing a place for us. He's building for us, even now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a couple verses touching on this that we just might be reminded. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You can't imagine that place. And you know what? There might be staircases in that place. Oh my, Brother Jim, what if I'm on the 100th floor or the 50th floor? Tell you what, you won't have any problem getting there. We'll be like the angels, the Lord says. He's our preparer. He's our provider. in these things. In Ephesians, I love this in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6 and 7. We were dead in sins and our Lord has raised us. It says in verse number 6 of Ephesians 2, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his favor, and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's preparing a place for us. Fellas, understand, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing a place for you. He tells Brother Daniel there in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel that Daniel will one day stand in his lot. I tell you what, I find that a great point of rejoicing there. The Lord has got a place for Daniel. And there's nothing that's going to change Daniel standing there in his place in that day. Verse number 3 in John 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, if I'm doing that, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We see Jesus, if you will, is our collector. He's going to come get us someday. And you know what? We don't have to worry about having a train ticket or an airline ticket or anything like that. What the sinner needs is salvation by the Lord, and Jesus will come get you, get us, to receive us unto himself. He's very interested in that. Listen, the Lord Jesus is going to die tomorrow in the context of this passage. And you know what he's talking about? I'm making a place for you, and I'm going to come get you. Well, I'll tell you what, there's much to see in our Lord Jesus, isn't there? Verse number 4, and whither I go, ye know. What do you think? Do you? If you and I leave out of here before the rapture by death, do you know the way to get to heaven? Do you know how to go there? I'm talking about in the sense the way that you and I plan a trip. Do you know how to get there? Lord Jesus says, and whither I go, ye know. You know that place, and you know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? We don't know that place. Listen to what Jesus says. Hallmark verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. See in our Lord Jesus Christ, we see in him that he is the way. We have him as Savior. The way is set for us. The way is sure and certain. We'll see more about that here in a passage to come. He's the truth. He is the truth. Psalm 115. Let's take a look over here and look at this passage. Psalm 115 and verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Jesus says to Thomas and the others, to us, I am the way. Our Lord Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and we praise and glorify him for that. You want to know the truth of the Lord? I tell you what, you need to know the Lord Jesus. In him is wrapped up all the truth of God. And when we speak about our Lord Jesus in this way, we're seeing that our Lord Jesus, the man, the God-man, he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. He says here, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's everything. What else is there other than the way that we will go in our lives and the life to come? What other truth is there to have but the truth that's been established by God? And don't you enjoy living? I tell you what, it's in us to live. And in Jesus, we do have life. He is our life. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 22, the scripture says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." He is the way to salvation. In Proverbs 19, verse number 21, the scripture there speaks about the counsel of the Lord. And you know what the counsel, the word of the Lord, what his truth will do? It will stand. It will stand forever. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, it speaks about the many inventions. God hath made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. You know, our way is not the truth. Our way is not the way. Our way naturally is not the life. And you know what? By our ability, by our pursuits, by our thinking, we will not arrive at the Father. Jesus says, there is a necessity to come unto the Father. You know, he's our way to the Father. In this context, we think and understand and consider about the Father, God the Father, as being God Almighty, the Father. That's his person that he tells us. And he says, you need me to arrive at the Father. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is all of these things. In this same book, in John chapter 10, look over here in verse number 9. What's Jesus say? In regards to the sheepfold and that, in verse number 9 of John 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture, provision. You want to be saved? You're only going to be saved by Jesus. You want to enter in? You're only going to enter in by Jesus. You want to have provision for the true necessity of your life physically and spiritually? It's only by Jesus. It's only by our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in John 14, or let's take a look rather over here in chapter 17 quickly and take a look at this verse. Verse number 3, John 17, verse number 3, just the page over. Listen to this. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, Jesus praying unto the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus is the way to life eternal. He is life eternal. He's the only way to go unto the Father. Back in John 14, Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Thomas. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. See, I am the door. I am the way to know the Father. And this context is the Lord is speaking as another man. He is the God-man, which is apparent, and you and I know that, but he's speaking as a man. There's no other man on the earth that can do this for sinners. He said, if you'd have known me, if you'd have known more about me, if you'd have got closer to me, Thomas, and the Lord's teaching them, you should have known my Father also. It would have just been plain and evident. We're so filled with doubt. Is it fair to say, and I tell you what, I know this because I was unsaved at one time. For you that are here and not saved this morning, isn't that where it's at, is you are filled with doubt? Filled with doubt to trust in the Savior and rest in Him and take your life and take it all you are in your soul and just lay it on the Lord? It's our natural tendency to be doubtful. It's our natural tendency not to trust. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. You know what we see in Jesus? Our Lord Jesus is our help to understand. He doesn't quit. He said, you should have known these things, Thomas. But you know what? You're going to now know them. He teaches us. Our Lord Jesus is indeed our teacher. Philip saith unto him, verse number 8, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Lord, just go ahead and get it over with and show us the Father. Open up the skies and reveal it to us. Take us to a cave, whatever. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. We'll get it. Just go ahead. Quit holding back and go ahead and show us the Father now. And we'll be satisfied. We'll get it. We'll be on board more than we have been. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip, I know thee by name. Don't you yet understand and see? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. We see here that Jesus is the representation of the Father by the Lord's design, by the Father's design, by the work of God. He is the one that we need to see and that we need. In Colossians chapter 2, this is a blessed verse that helps us with this. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. For in him, that is in Jesus Christ, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bodily. He's the one. You know, it's so interesting. For example, we go to the jail and we tell those folks about the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. And just within minutes, I would ask again, tell me what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And they'll say, the Bible, keeping the tent. There's just an aversion to hear and understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that to run them down. I'm saying that to explain how it is with you and me. What sinners need is the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we are just naturally led to distraction to everything else. To religion, to good works, to this and that and the other, and we're just it just amazes me. But that's how it is, and how we need the Lord. He said, "If you've seen me, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Look over here in Isaiah chapter 9. A promise of the Savior coming. In verse number 6 in Isaiah, a prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Just like John 3:16. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the name of the Lord Jesus. Counselor. We touched about that, about the counsel of the Lord there in verse number in Proverbs, where it says that the counsel of the Lord will stand. The mighty God. It says here, a child is born, a son is given, and his name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. You hear that? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of his names is the Everlasting Father. He's the one that we need to see. He's the one that we need to believe in and trust in and rest in and look to. The everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Our Lord Jesus is the one that you and I need, saved or unsaved. He is the one that we need to see, and He has all these things that He is unto us. Again, Philip, and we see here with Philip the call to see Jesus Christ for who He is. Back in John 14, verse number 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" You've seen the Father, Philip, in me. Verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" The Lord Jesus Christ declares in other passages, "I and the Father are one." There's not the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the character and way of God is that the Lord tells us about His persons and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they are so united in the carrying out of the salvation and the gospel and the glorification of God through Christ and the salvation of sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ, the man completing all things that God has given man to do through Christ. They are the Lord is these three persons, but they are unified closer than you and I could ever even comprehend about it. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Don't you believe that, Philip? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." Listen to this. I found this very interesting. "But the Father that dwelleth in me," the Lord Jesus is again, He's speaking as a man. He is God. "But the Father dwells in Him." You know what? We see in our Lord Jesus Christ the example and the pattern and the witness that we need to desire and seek for the Father to dwell in us. Yes, Jesus has the Father dwelling in Him. And you and I need to see that we need the Father dwelling in us. And if you're here and saved, you do. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And we need to avail ourselves to that. What Jesus has done, He's done at the directive of the Father. He came as a man not to do His own will, but the will of the Father expressly. And we need to do the will of the Father. We need to do the will of our Lord Jesus. That's the example that's set before us. "Believest not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." Listen to what He says. "Or if you can't receive that, or else believe me for the very work's sake." We want to go over here to John chapter 5 and take a look about this phrase, "for the work's sake." He says, "Believe me that I and the Father am one. The Father is in me. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me." You've seen the Father, Philip. The Father, I have been walking with you for 3 years. You've seen it. But see, our natural tendency is to think that there needs to be more, or that the way of the Lord Jesus is weak. You know, the Lord Jesus came meek and lowly, and maybe that's what Philip was looking at. The Lord Jesus doesn't have an army like Herod and like Pilate at His disposal. There's not a great show of power in dealing with the Romans. And, you know, Philip would feel better if that's what the Lord would do. But I tell you what, the Lord is all we need. He is all that we need. He says, "If believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." We could go and take a look at a lot of examples, but in John chapter 5, We see here at Bethesda, the Lord is there and they're waiting for this pool to be troubled by the angel, the scripture says. This man of 38 years old has got an infirmity and he can't get to the water in time. Somebody steps in before him before he can be healed. The Lord says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And the man does like that. The Pharisees, as is typical, the Lord does this on the Sabbath, and the Jews there in verse number 10 of chapter 5, they chide with the Lord and because he's done this on the Sabbath day, and the man's carrying his bed, as the Lord told him to carry his bed to go home, I would presume. The work's sake, he healed a man. And the Lord uses this opportunity and the conflict and the controversy that stirred up about it to say these things. In verse number 17 of John 5, and Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. So this is the work of the Father and this is my work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, because the Son's the heir. He steps into the place, and the way that it works amongst men, the Son steps in as heir to the place of the Father. So there's equality there in its time. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He says, I'm doing what the Father, my Father does. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. He says, I'm doing what the Father's given, and the Father will give more. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, makes them alive, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. He said, he's healed this man to get the attention of the people, all these people, the Pharisees, the Jews, his own disciples, the multitude at hand, whoever's at hand there. And he says, I've got life. Receive it. He says, the way the Father raises up the dead and makes alive who he wants to, even so the Son of Man makes alive whom he wants to, whom he will. Do you need life? You need Jesus. He's life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. For the Father judgeth no man, verse 22, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Understand, judgment has been put on Jesus by the Father. He's the judge. You need a good standing with the judge. If you don't have a good standing with the judge, you're doomed. And this righteous judge does all things just. All judgment is committed unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him salvation. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, the Father, hath everlasting life. Have you heard Jesus' word? Do you believe it and receive it? Do you believe that the Father has sent him for your sake? You have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation for sins, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We preach the gospel amongst sinners that are dead in trespasses and sins, and by the power and work of God, some hear, and some are saved, some are made alive. Like you and me. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He is the life. And hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. So he's the judge, he's a Savior, and he's the judge too. He tells Philip, he says, Philip, believe me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The healing that I've done, the power of God manifested, because that is what you need. You need me. Back in John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice Every dead person is going to hear his voice. The dead that are alive physically without Christ, there are those that hear his voice unto salvation. And then all those in the grave, every single one that you and I have seen buried, and all the ones that we know are buried out there in the graveyards over this world. The Lord says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, those that are saved by the Lord, into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, have rejected the Lord and his gospel and his truth and his way and his salvation, they will be raised into the resurrection of damnation. Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you don't believe my word, believe the works that have been done by the power of God in me. See, Jesus is a man. It's hard for us to take this and hold it all in one thought. And it was just impossible, really, to do so. But you understand, Jesus is a man is full of the Spirit of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And as a man, that's all been given unto him. And he's got it. This assignment to be the judge, this assignment of the Father to be the Savior. We need to see Jesus for all that he is. And he is the judge, and he will call sinners unto life. He will call sinners unto damnation. Verse number 30 of John 5, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. You got to tell you what, he's going to get it right. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Back in John 14, he said, believe me for the very work's sake, Philip. All that you've seen done, it's the power of God. The man at the pool of Bethesda was healed, and the Lord speaks of life in him and judgment given to him by the Father. That's the reason that sinners might hear and believe and see that Jesus can save. Verse number 12 of John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, my assignment to the Father is to go back to him, but I've got a work here that I'm going to be doing in my church. And I've got a work that's going to continue on in them. The works that I do, he'll do also. And do you hear this? And greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Our Lord Jesus is not physically with us, but he is just as much with us by his Spirit and his power. His body, his churches will work in his stead physically, and he will work in us with this spiritual leadership. And, you know, we need to see that. We need to see this great work of the Lord. Verse number 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. I tell you what, our Lord is a future provider of a heavenly home. And he's a provider now of the things that we need until that time. See how Jesus does that? Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I tell you what, the air is let out of his sail. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let me tell you about how it's going to be at the end, fellas, for you all. And then let me tell you how it is now, and now, and now. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Our Lord is our provider. Our Lord Jesus is interested in us, and he is our provider indeed. Seeing Jesus Christ for who he is. Our Lord Jesus is our all in all. You name a subject. You name a need. You name an issue, and Jesus is the answer for any of those. I know thee by name. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful how we see here with Philip? Yeah, the Lord is serious with Philip. He's serious with Thomas. But you know what? He doesn't quit him. He doesn't quit them in their ignorance, does he? And the Lord doesn't quit us in our ignorance. And we need to draw near, and we need to desire him that he would teach us, that he would show us, that we might see Jesus, that we might see Jesus in the glory that he has and is. In every whit, in every way, to see our Lord Jesus for who he is indeed. We close with Colossians chapter 1. Took a look over there in chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 1, we see this, and bringing this right here to us today as the Lord's church here in Olmsted, Kentucky. In Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, let's back up here. It's a long sentence, so we're going to jump here in the middle of it. Verse number 13 of Colossians chapter 1. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, what Jesus has done for us, we are saved, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking about the Father, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. A review about what Jesus has done for us at the foundation, at the beginning. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You want to know about God? You want to know God? You want to experience God? I tell you what, you can only do so by Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Yes, he's the creator. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, even Satan. As Brother Stephen touched on this morning, Satan is a creation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, don't buy into this Eastern mysticism about the good needs the bad, and the evil needs the good, and the good needs the evil. And Satan and Jesus are kind of like brothers that are at odds with each other. No, Jesus is the king, and Satan is his creation. And given the rope that he's given for the purpose and work of God, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He's preeminent. And by him all things consist. You and me today, our life, this world in which we live, it's all held together and worked by our Lord Jesus. Listen. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's before first place. He's preeminent in everything. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. He is our fullness. He is our all in all. He is our way. He is the truth, the only truth that there is. He is our life. He's our provider presently and all the way at the end. And you know what I mean by the end. The end is eternity with our Lord. He is our sacrifice, our atonement, our propitiation, all those Bible words that describe our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our fullness. Indeed, I know thee by name. What we see with Brother Philip and the others there, that we need to see Jesus Christ for who he is. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul. His death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, to mankind it seems like a weak thing to just trust and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that's not enough. There's got to be something else. I tell you what, there is nothing else. Our Lord, resting and relying, trusting in him. Taking God's side against yourself. You're wicked. You and I are wicked. You are wicked. You're a sinner. You've got this stack and this load of sin stacked up against you. And our righteous judge will judge them correctly. There won't be a mistake with you. There won't be any ifs, ands, or buts. There won't be any excuses. You need a remedy for those sins, those transgressions against God. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. He's the one that's got the power to take them and wash them away by his blood. Not let them, not say, well, it'll be okay. No, that's what Jesus does for those that he saves. He takes his blood and he washes them away. We point you to him. We as his children, may we strive and endeavor to see our Lord Jesus for who he is, what he is. May we ask of our Lord that we might see more of his glory. I tell you what, examples in the scriptures about brethren who were blessed to see the glory of the Lord, you know what? They wanted more. We need to desire more of our Lord. Moses did that. He desired to see more of the Lord. And may that be our desire too.